Good morning, church. Let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the abundant life and purpose that we receive through Christ. And as we hear from your word today, Lord, teach us to live with a purpose. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on Christ and eternity. Speak to us through your living word, Lord. In Jesus' name we offer this prayer. Amen. Let me start with a short story this morning. There was a Jewish businessman in Brooklyn who sent his son to Israel to explore Jewish culture and heritage. And afterwards, the father asked, "Son, how was your trip?" And the son replied, "Well, I had a wonderful time in Israel. Oh, and I became a Christian." The father was really horrified. So the father went to his friend Jacob and told him about this. Jacob replied, "Funny you should ask. I also sent my son to Israel and he came back a Christian." Both of them were horrified now. So they went to see the rabbi. The rabbi replied, "Funny you should ask. I also sent my son to Israel and he also came back a Christian." Now, three of them were really worried and horrified and they thought to pray. So they asked in prayer, "Lord, what is happening to our young people?" Suddenly a voice from heaven came and it said like this, "Well, funny you should ask, I also sent my son to Israel." When God sends his son to this world, nothing stays the same. Lives are changed, hearts are transformed and restored, and people are never quite the same again. And this is what Peter is exactly talking about in this passage. This letter was written to believers who felt that they are strangers in the world around them. They were misunderstood, pressured, and sometimes rejected only because they followed Jesus. And yet Peter reminds them that even though they feel that they no longer fully belong to this world, Peter reminds them that they completely belong to God. And the same is true for us today. Following Jesus is not just about becoming more religious. It is about being transformed from the inside out. A changed heart leads to a change of life. Verse 2 begins by contrasting the old life with the new life that we now find in Christ. Before knowing Christ, people naturally lived for themselves. They simply followed whatever felt right, whatever brought pleasure, or followed the trends of the world. Now, this may sound pretty familiar today, isn't it? We hear it all the time. Do whatever makes you happy. Live life your own way. If it feels like, then go for it. These ideas are very completely woven in our culture today. We hear it at work, in social media, in conversations. It's everywhere. But coming to Christ changes the direction of our life, isn't it? Earlier we used to focus on what do I want, but now we begin to focus what God wants from my life. And this may not be an overnight change, but it happens because God gives us a new heart with new desires. Sometimes this change is dramatic. Sometimes this change is a bit slow and quiet, but it is real. Many of you might have heard about Augustine of Hippo, a theologian and philosopher in 4th century AD. Before coming to Christ, Augustine spent his life chasing pleasure, success, and intellectual pride. He said that he wanted happiness, but in his own terms, without surrendering to God. But after encountering Christ, his entire direction changed. And later he wrote these famous words, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." And isn't it true? So many people are chasing peace, purpose, identity, yet nothing apart from Christ can fully satisfy them. The old way of life might have promised freedom, but it can often lead to regret, brokenness, or confusion. But when we come to Jesus, Jesus does not merely change our behavior, rather he transforms our heart, and that changes everything. Peter even asks the believers, "Haven't you spent enough time living that old way?" Meaning, isn't it exhausting to live apart from God? The world tells us to follow our own hearts, but God invites us to surrender our hearts to him. And as we surrender our lives, our hearts to God, he frees us from that self-centered living and fills us with his purpose. I want you to reflect on this. In your daily walk with Christ, are you moving intentionally toward God, or are you drifting? Be honest. Is there anything apart from Christ in your life that you are seeking to gain peace or satisfaction? I want you to remember this. Your life has been bought with a price. You have been rescued. You have been restored. And you have been given a new purpose. So do not waste your life. Do not waste another season living the old way. Friends, the question is not whether you will change someday. The question is, will you let God change you today? This passage also invites us to look around us with compassion. Who around us today needs a direction of change? A change of direction. Is there someone weighed down by bitterness? Is there someone so heavily affected by addiction? Is someone broken by loneliness? Is there someone around us who is slowly drifting away from God? And as followers of Christ with a changed heart, God invites us not to judge them, but to walk beside them with grace and truth. So we have seen that transformation begins on the inside, and now Peter shows what that transformation appears on the outside in our actually living. Verse 7 says, "The end of all the world, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers." Peter reminds believers that life is short and eternity is real. Now, he is not trying to create panic, but he wants us to stay focused. I'll come back to this idea later, but I want to highlight this thing. Our life gets noisy, isn't it? Work pressure, financial stress, family responsibilities, emotional burdens, and so on. And in the middle of all that, we can slowly start drifting away from God without even realizing it. Yes, we still attend church, we keep up our routines, we appear fine on the outside, but our hearts can become tired, distracted, and distant from God. And that is why Peter says, stay grounded in prayer. Prayer is not only for emergencies, It is how we stay connected to God on a daily basis. Think about the life of Mother Teresa. She spent most of her life in serving the poorest of the poor in difficult conditions. People really admired her public ministry. But those who were close to her, they said her strength came from long hours of private prayer. Her service flowed out of her relationship with Christ. And that is the reminder for us today. If we try to serve without prayer, then eventually we may burn out. But when we stay connected to Christ, even while serving, we find life and renewal. Peter then says, continue to show deep love for each other. A transformed heart should naturally produce genuine love for others. Christian love is not merely emotional, rather it is practical and sacrificial. Think about the families who care for someone who is seriously ill. A parent caring for a sick child through sleepless nights. A spouse faithfully taking care of their partner through long and exhausting months. Think about the carers who consistently look after elderly people or people with special needs. And at times it can really feel tiring, exhausting, and isolating. Yet this kind of steady and faithful care is a powerful expression of Christ-like love. And this is the kind of love Peter describes here, a love that does not give up easily. Next, Peter says, open your home, welcome people in. Now, even if the scripture encourages hospitality often, why are we hesitant to it? Maybe due to our busyness or insecurity? Or sometimes the idea of serving others may feel like too risky because it may cost us time, energy, or resources. But here's the thing. Hospitality is not about having a perfect home. Rather, it is about making room for people. God is not asking us to impress people, but He is asking us to welcome others. A simple meal, a cup of tea, or a safe place of conversations can become a powerful expression of Christ's love. So, can we begin to see our homes as gifts from God meant to be used for His kingdom? And then Peter talks about spiritual gifts. Church, let me tell you, the gift you carry is not an accident. If God has given you a gift, it's because someone else needs it. Your gift is not a random thing. It really matters. Now, one of the most widespread misconceptions in the church today is, I don't think that I have got any spiritual gifts. But look at what Peter says. Peter does not say, some of you received gifts, but he says, each of you. That means no one in this room is excluded. No one is sitting here empty-handed before God. The issue is not that we don't have any gifts. It could be that we are unaware about it. Now, If you are not sure about your gifts, but you have a heart to serve, can you please pray about it? It's not just about service rosterings. We have ministries like The Nest, Drop-In Center, Homework Club, Friendship Club, and many more. So feel free to come and talk to any of our staff team members and share with us how would you like to bless the community through your gifts. Another thing we commonly hear is, my gift is not important enough. Someone else can do it better. Let us remember that God did not ask you to be someone else. He asked you to be a faithful steward of what He gave you. The person who stacks chairs may be doing just an important task as the person who greets and welcomes people. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm afraid of failing or doing it wrong. What if I play a wrong chord? What if I struggle to read or lead? Sometimes people say that they are not qualified enough. They are not spiritually strong. Now, even if you are struggling with any of these thoughts, I want to encourage you today. Just pray and step in. Get involved, volunteer, raise your hand and say yes, not because you have it all together, but because He who has gifted you, He who has called you, is faithful. Serve where you are and with what you have, and trust that God will multiply your devotion, God will multiply your obedience than your ability. Someone may say, gifts are only for pastors or leaders. But remember that we are not just an audience, we are an army of the Lord. The church is not meant to be a place where a few people come and a few people serve while everyone else sits and observes. Imagine if every Christian said, I have nothing to offer, then the church would become weak or inactive. But we are the body of Christ, and together we are called to grow and serve together. Every one of us is gifted and equipped, and God invites us to participate in His mission. So the question is not whether I have a gift or not. The question is, am I willing to use what God has already given to me? So ask yourself today, where has God placed you? What has He put in your hands? And who is around you that God is asking you to encourage or strengthen or bless the person through your gifts? And as we serve, let us remember that the source of our strength does not come from our human effort. Rather, God Himself empowers His people to serve faithfully. Now, in all these instructions, Peter draws our attention to the urgency of the matter. The end of the world is coming soon. Because the end of all things is near, time is not unlimited. Now, this is not meant to create fear. It is meant to remind us that we don't get delayed. Just think for a moment. If you knew you had only a short time left, what would you change today? You would stop putting off important conversations. You would stop delaying forgiveness. You would stop waiting for the right time to do what God has already placed in your heart. Friends, Peter here is not trying to scare us, but he's trying to wake us up. Many people think they have plenty of time to get serious about faith afterwards. Some may think, I will pray more when life slows down, or I will serve when I'm less busy, or I'll step into ministry when things settle. Because time is short and eternity is approaching, Peter is actually asking us to live differently right now. So the bottom line is, don't delay. You may be waiting for the right situations, more confidence or more resources, but the end of all things is near. And every day you delay is a day you cannot get back. So the question is not, will I ever sow, pray, give or speak for God? The question is, will I do it today? Will I do it this week? Will I stop waiting and start acting? Now, when we truly believe that eternity is real, our perspective changes. We begin to think, then what really matters? How can I participate in advancing the kingdom? It also helps us to understand that this world is not our final home. We are strangers and temporary residents here because our true citizenship is in heaven. It does not mean that we are to withdraw from this world or to live without a purpose. Instead, Jesus calls his believers to be light and salt in this world. So we are meant to reflect God's character through the way we live, sow, and speak. Let us be honest with ourselves. Are we living with a purpose or without a purpose? A life without a purpose is not only unfulfilling, but this is not the life that God intends for his people. We are not saved to simply exist, but we are saved to live for a greater purpose for him. And the world may continue to offer comfort, pleasure, and those all things may even distract us. But at the end, none of those things will ever matter. What will matter is this. Did you live for Jesus? Did you love faithfully? Did you sow generously? Did you fulfill the God-given purpose through your life? And as we continue to live faithfully for Jesus, I want you to remember this. You are known by God. You are redeemed by his blood. You are loved through Christ and made alive in Christ. You may feel like a stranger to this world, but you are never a stranger to God. We are in the world, but not of the world. Amen.